Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. We thank you for being with us, and we have a great show for you tonight. The number to call in is the number to call in 515-605-9802. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, this is Lori Pica in Michigan, and I hope everyone is doing well this evening. And like David said, we're going to have a lot to talk about tonight.
Yes, man. Yes, man. And you know, the weather's been beautiful. Oh my goodness. Yes. You know, this on and off cold weather, then warm and then hot. You know, it's driving me crazy. And of course, sinuses is going berserk.
Yep.
I don't know how it is there in Michigan, but you know, here
it's been same thing though. Basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was warm and kind of warm and sunny today, and you know, it's going to be for a couple of days and it'll get cold again. And you're right, everybody's, you know, got colds and coughs and, you know, viruses passed around, because this is very mm-hmm. unusual winter mm-hmm. we've had. And of course, it has to do with global warming. I believe that, but you know, we can't say that out loud.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's a liberal hoax, you know.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
These
sure
poor
is.
Conservative Republicans are out of their minds. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to do? Huh? These people, you know, they're crazy and want their own way and they have to have their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no reasoning with these people. And already we'll have two callers on the line, but let's, you know, let's get into the crux of the matter tonight and everything. Mm-hmm. What was it like for that congresswoman, Democrat, to be sitting right next to Marjorie Taylor Greene? I wonder, you know,
wow.
I mean, nobody wants to sit right next to her. Because she's such a loudmouth and bigoted fool and an idiot.
Yeah, no one actually wanted to sit next to her. but I guess she got there late, a little bit late,
mm-hmm.
not to Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman you're talking about, or is she a senator?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. And
so
she had no choice but to sit there. I watched her interview. I watched a video of the interview. And
mm-hmm.
You know, she just says Marjorie Taylor Greene is basically out there, and no one really likes her. No one wants to talk to her or sit by her
mm-hmm.
because she is
mm-hmm.
a wingnut and a loose yeah. cannon and
mm-hmm.
crazy. And, you know, I
yeah.
noticed when President Biden was walking in, and he did spot her, but he turned away right away. He did not speak to her at all. You know, he has
mm-hmm.
no respect
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
her. He doesn't deserve any
yeah.
respect to anyone. Absolutely none. So,
yeah, she was trying to talk to him
yeah.
and everything, but Biden just totally ignored her like he should.
Yeah.
You know, she's
yeah.
childish. She's ignorant. You know, why
not
bother
only,
waste of time with such a person?
Yeah, and not only that, David, she does not deserve to speak to President Biden. Not the way she's
mm-hmm.
talked about him, not the horrible things she said about him and the party
mm-hmm.
and all the lies that she spews on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she does not deserve to speak to him. That's it.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
That's
yes, it. Yes. And last
mm-hmm.
night was a great interview with Christina Hines.
Yes.
She hopefully
yes.
will be the next,
mm-hmm.
the first female to be the prosecutor from Macomb County.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good thing. Yeah,
yeah,
we need more women in seats of power. You
yeah,
know, so
she,
I wish her all the best in everything.
Yeah, I was so, I mean, you know, I know Peter Lucido was a lawyer. I knew he was in the Senate, but I did not
mm-hmm.
know that he had ever tried a federal case. I was
mm-hmm.
so serious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they do. And she is a prosecutor. She has experience. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I wait till they debate because she will bury him.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he sounds like a loudmouth and, you know, as
yes.
we don't establish, he has no respect for women. You know, some
nope.
women get to play a big part in this election this year. You know, because
mm-hmm.
with Trump disrespecting women, Republican Party trying to take away, you know, the right for her, a female,
mm-hmm.
to have autonomy over her own body. You know, women across the board, whatever generation you're, they're pissed
mm-hmm.
off, they're angry because the fights that women fight for since
1920s, mm-hmm.
for getting the vote till now,
mm-hmm.
and then this conservative court, a very partisan court, rule back everything women fight for is a spit in the face, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
So, you
absolutely.
Know, women shouldn't have to be fighting for all these things that, and
no.
then know it's being taken away and everything. And on top of that, Donald Trump being disrespectful to women, you know, about grabbing them by the pussy and what have you. That's
oh,
so
yeah.
disgusting. I mean,
yeah.
who the hell would sleep with them? You know? The woman who actually sleep with them, Stormy Daniels, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
ew, you know, I mean, he's not attractive, you know, he smells bad, you know, he's a loud
yeah.
mouth, he's not discreet, my God,
no,
ugh.
No,
and I have a man
mm-mm.
saying that, you know, I'm like, wow, but anyway,
yeah.
let's get the show on the road. Should we take
mm-hmm.
a call now, or should we just go into what we talk about. You know, he doubled down. Oh, okay, cool, cool. Yes, we will take this first call. It's from New York. Mm-hmm. Hello, okay. New York. Welcome to the show. What's cooking? Hello, New York.
How you doing? Well, I just wanted to know your... Hey, how you doing? It's North Carolina here. I got a bunch of people on the line with me, actually, tonight, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were on Haiti right now, what's going on with Haiti, because this is under the Biden regime where, you know, the foreign policy obviously is broken down, and we see what's going on. I just want to know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, actually, Haiti has been a problem since 1801 when they gained independence from France or fought for their independence. And if it wasn't for France and the Western powers that went in there and destroyed their country, then we wouldn't have this today. And it's unfortunate what's happening in Haiti, but Haiti has always been a problem. And, you know, whether it is a Democratic president or a Republican president, when Jean-Bertrand Aristide was president there, he was ousted. George W. Bush was president then, you know, so... I mean, Haiti will always be Haiti, and I think what the United States should know is impose sanctions and try to get, you know, some order, some semblance of order in Haiti. You know, how do we do that? Not put boots on the ground, but through diplomacy. That's a thought.
Okay. Okay. What about the immigration? Do you think that, well, you know, obviously we're going to have Haitians fleeing, trying to get over our unsecured border, because we have an unsecured border down there. I know we had a conversation on that. You go ahead. I know we had a conversation.
But
unsecure right now. We have, Yeah, this is Joe. Yeah, the border right now obviously is unsecure, and we have a battle going on between, you know, Texas wanting to secure their borders, and I know you disagree with, you don't think Texas should be allowed to secure its own borders, it should. State should have. Okay.
No, Joe, I'm not saying Texas shouldn't secure the borders, but don't put barbed wire fence and barbed wires in the water.
Well, how should they secure
kill
it?
People.
How should they secure
Joe
the border,
Biden,
then? What would you recommend?
Pass the border bill that Langford, Senator Langford from Oklahoma, worked very hard for 12 weeks with Democrats to have, you know, and just because Donald Trump said no, then the Republicans themselves, who are masterminds behind the bill and work with Democrats for this bill, voted against their own bill. So pass that bill and then, you know, could move forward from there.
Yeah, you have to start
okay,
somewhere.
Don't you have to start somewhere? Okay. Well, sure. I got Sarge. I got my friend Sarge on the line with me. Sarge, we discussed the bill. What's your thoughts on that, Sarge? I got a buddy on mine. He's very knowledgeable about these things. He says we should pass that bill that they just had.
Yeah. So let's see. David? We need to pass a bill that gives a man executive authority that he already possesses to shut down the border for any reason that he deems fit. It literally says that. And what this border bill would do would be to legalize 2.5 million illegal aliens a year at a minimum.
Okay, pause. He's on mute. Donald Trump. Wait. He's on mute. Donald Trump. He's on mute. Okay, he's on mute. That Donald Trump tried that very same thing, and it went to the courts because a lot of people were suing and everything. You don't have executive authority to do what, you know, Serge and Joe is saying that Joe Biden should do, okay? Because when Donald Trump tried it, he was taken to court, and it went through the court system. We know how slow that is. You know, so that's a nothing burger right there.
I do not want to waste my time with Sarge and Joe. I do not. So I say, hang up on. I really don't. There is no talking to them. We this. I'm not getting my blood pressure up. I can't stand their stupidity. I can't stand their ignorance. We're hanging up on you. That's the end of it.
I can't stand their lies.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They don't speak the truth. They speak lies. And we haven't got time for that.
No, I don't have time for this. I'm spending 2 hours arguing with these two morons. I'm not.
I already did
2 weeks ago. And David, you know what they did to you. What they threatened.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
So we need them.
Yes.
To
yes. Mhm. Yes. 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 Okay. Yeah.
They called in. You know, David. They called in just to cause trouble. They're already laughing.
Mm-hmm.
They're already laughing. They're already loud. They're probably drunk on top of it all. Just be done with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's go on and do our show the way we do it. We don't lie. We tell the truth. I'm not putting up with these
mm-hmm.
imbeciles. I won't do it. I'll hang up.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Okay, so this is season 6, episode 47, The Devil Wears MAGA. Evangelicals are trying hard to transform America into a crypto fascist state. The Democratic National Committee has raised tons of money since U.S. President Joe Biden's 2024 State of the Union speech to a joint sitting of Congress. GOP tries to show a united front, even though Trump got them by the testicles. Republicans around the country are weak and cowardice. As Biden and Democrats crisscross America, Republicans keep falling on their faces. Senate Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has called it quits. Nikki Haley ended her failure of a campaign with a whimper, and the Republican Party is now trying to backtrack on certain laws they have enacted in red states and have angered women. They still want a national abortion ban and cannot be trusted. How can you tell who's MAGA? By what they wear, the red hat, the paraphernalia, and soon enough, those ugly, expensive gold sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
The MAGA cult is small but vocal, not strong but vocal. What is it like to communicate with the handmaidens, hillbillies, and total whack jobs? There's no reasoning with stupid people, is there? The election season's fired up and America's ready to go. It's a repeat of the 2020 presidential election, Biden versus Trump 2.0. Who will you vote for and why? Call in and tell us, you know, what do you think? Who will win? Do you think there will be debates? Do you think it's going to be a toxic campaign or a campaign of, you know, ideas? 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling in from. This is Kitchen Politics 123 with me, David Franklin, and Laura Picker. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can tell who's MAGA by the way to speak. When you call into somebody's show, they get loud mm-hmm. and boisterous and don't give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to try to take over and steer the conversation where they want to go. And it's annoying.
Yeah. You know, David, it isn't even that so much. You know, they throw little tidbits like, what do you think about Haiti? Really? Haiti's been
mm-hmm.
going on forever. So what is Biden supposed to do? Drop everything he's got right now, you know, on his plate and run and try to take care of Haiti when they can't even negotiate on a border, when the Republicans work to put out a border bill and then they dump it because Trump doesn't want them to do the border bill? And they have the nerve to call
mm-hmm.
up here and say, oh, no, we got to do something about the border. Well, you're full of shit, both of you, Sarge and Joe. So don't call in here again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, man. So the Haitian crisis has been going on since 2018. And a protest began in Citrus Road, Haiti, on July 7th, 2018, in response to the increase in fuel prices. And over time, these protests evolved into demands for the resignation of Jovenel Moïse, the then president of Haiti, led by opposition politician Jean-Charles Moïse, who's no relation to him. So protesters stated that their goals were to create a transitional government, provide social programs, and prosecute alleged corrupt officials. So throughout 2019 through 2021, hundreds of thousands took part in protests calling for the government to resign. And on February 7, 2021, supporters of opposition against the then incumbent Jovenel Moïse allegedly attempted a coup d'etat, leading to 23 arrests as well as clashes between protesters and police. So like I said, since 1800 when Haiti got independence from France or fought for the independence, you know, it's been one coup after another, and his is just unstable. And we in the Western world caused it. You know why? Because when France was in charge of Haiti, they treated people like garbage. They enslaved them. They brutalized them. They took their natural resources and just basically raped Haiti. And so in the fight for independence in 1800, Toussaint Louverture became the first president of Haiti. And the hate that a black nation fought and defeated a superpower like France. So they've been salty ever since. You know, so in September 2022, further protests erupted in response to the raising energy prices and federation of gangs created a blockade around Haiti, the largest fuel depot. And combined with an outbreak of cholera and widespread acute hunger, the crisis has led the United Nations Security Council unanimously voting to impose sanctions on criminals in the country. In 2024, Acting Prime Minister Ariel Henry was prevented from returning to Haiti after a trip intended to secure the health of the Kenyan police in curbing gang violence. The power vacuum, along with the chaos in the streets, led to the scheduling of an emergency CARICOM meeting on 11th of March. CARICOM, if you don't know, is the Caribbean nations, is a Caribbean community with Jamaica, Trinidad, Guyana, St. Lucia, Barbuda, all the Caribbean nations. Think the European Union, but the Caribbean version of it, you know? The background and origins of this thing is a Senate probe released in 2017 concerning the period 2008-2016. René Préval and Michael Martelly administrations, as well as Chief of Staff of Vincent President Moise, revealed significant corruption had been funded with Venezuelan loans through the Petro-Caribbean program. So Haitians at the time were informed that the corruption had occurred. That means government officials in Haiti were stealing the money that they were borrowing from Venezuela. So there was a 2021 Haitian constitutional referendum. The referendum proposed that Moise, which was the then president, would reportedly scrap the ban on consecutive presidential terms and enable Moise to run again. And in 2021, the America's Quarterly is a magazine described as a three-year protest movement by young people that has its roots in 2018 riots over high fuel prices and lack of jobs and health care. You know, so they made state corruption and President Moise a target of escalating protests. And, of course, we know that Moise is dead now because his bodyguards turned against him, and it was an inside job. And the Haitian Canadian tweeted a photo of himself blindfolding, holding a cardboard sign. Where did the Petro-Caribbean money go? It was in 2018, this Haitian-Canadian writer, Gilbert Mirambou. And the Haitian media then shared the hashtag offline, providing more circulation of the message among the public. According to Sheraton Roberts, which is the next writer, such messaging was a call to the international community to regime change effort was on the way. So, you know, the Haitians can't get the things together. They can't get the shit together, basically. And, you know, this is not for the United States to play world policeman, you know. The gang fear, the gang warfare that's going on there in Haiti, it's up to them.
Very bad.
And as a former protectorate of France, you know, why France can't go in there and deal with it? You know, because they caused it. You know, they
it. But then you have people like Joe and Sarge calling here and, you know, just throw accusations, you know, at the wall. You know, what's Biden going to do about it? Well, what the hell? How long has this been going on? For years. I mean, we can ask every president that as well. So we don't want any more of that. It's just, we're done with them. At least I am.
Yeah, yeah. So, and last thing on this topic now, They have arrested foreign mercenaries, and violence towards the press is out of control. And United States U.S. Department spokesperson for Western Hemispheric Affairs stated, and I quote, "We support the right of all people to demand a democratic and transparent government and to hold their government leaders accountable, but there is no excuse for violence. Violence leads to instability, less investment, and fewer jobs. So the United States prepared humanitarian assistance to ensure food security in Haiti and called for those responsible for corruption to be held accountable. The U.S. State Department also urged all U.S. citizens on October 30th last year to leave Haiti as soon as possible due to the rising violence. So in March 2024, the United States affiliated non-essential staff, airlifted non-essential staff from its embassy and reaffirmed support for a Kenyan police presence." So at least Kenya going in there and trying to, like, have some semblance of order and help, you know, things get back to normal and everything. And intergovernmental organizations like CARICOM, an Organization of American States, the OAS, and United Nations, they're putting people there on the ground to try to stabilize Haiti in terms of security forces and everything. And, you know, it's not up to the United States to drop everything and just go there. You know, it's not our job.
And you know what, David? And in 2018, when Trump was president, he referred to Haiti, and African nations as the shithole countries. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think
they needed a bipartisan group of senators at the White House. A Democratic brief on Thursday's meeting told NBC News. That was on January 12th, 2018. Shithole countries is what Trump called the African nations and Haiti. Okay? So I don't want to hear any more from these people. I'm done. We're done. So
Yes. I stand completely how you feel.
Yeah.
I was wondering what happened to Sarge, you know? I haven't heard from Sarge or Pianke for a while. But anyway, moving on, as I said at the top of the show, Biden doubles down on the criticism of the Supreme Court for overturning Roe versus Wade. So the Supreme Court justices made a mistake, according to Joe Biden, when it chose to overturn Roe versus Wade and end federal protections for abortion. So President Biden said during an interview on MSNBC, the Saturday show with Jonathan Capehart, the reason why this matters is because the comments mark the second time in days that President Biden has directly criticized the court over the Dobbs ruling after he admonished the court's decision during the State of the Union address Thursday. So the state of play now is that Biden said in this interview that, quote, "I think they made a wrong decision. I think they read the Constitution wrong. I think they made a mistake." And I don't think they made a mistake. What happened is that a lot of partisanship is going on because people like Sir Clarence Thomas and Judge Alito and Judge Roberts, their Christianity, you know, is impeding them of following the Constitution. You know, the other conservative judges, Gorsuch is a Dominionist, and Kavanaugh, he's no Christian, fuck him. And the other woman there, Coney Barrett, she's a kook. She never been in front of the Supreme Court before she served on the Supreme Court. You know, so she's unqualified. She's a non-starter. She is a silly woman, you know. What's your thoughts on what Joe Biden said?
Oh, I think he was spot on. He was spot on. And, you know, I know he tried to sound, you know, I think they made him not how he really feels. We all know why they did what they did. So I think, you know, Joe Biden said the right thing. He's on the right side of history because women want, you know, their own abortion rights. They want to be able to make decisions for their own bodies and not have these men that are in the government try to tell us what to do. with our own, you know, medical problems or not. So that's how I feel. I think President Biden did well. He said well, you know, but, you know, I don't know how it's going to come down, how it's going to end up. I think that if, you know, if Biden is elected, there's a chance that it can get, you know, overturned again. If Biden does not get elected, I see a national ban coming, and I see IVF women fighting for their IVF rights as well. I see a disaster on the horizon. That's what I see. And not only in that case, but in many other cases, many other policies and things that we've been used to in this country are going to disappear.
Okay, I have that really. Okay, I have that because women have fought for generations for the rights that have no. And who gives a right to any man, whether in the Supreme Court or in the halls of Congress, to decide what a woman does with her body? You know, your Christianity or your religion should play no part in the run of government and how the Constitution is interpreted. You know, so shame on them for doing that and everything. They should know better. But, of course, they will do better.
No, absolutely not.
Let's
get
another call in.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Say first name, where you're calling in from. This is Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? You're on air. Hello.
Well, then I guess it's me.
Oh, hi, Elaine.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Elaine from Michigan.
Hi, Elaine.
I think we're about ready to start following the money again. Anheuser-Busch has just endorsed a big fundraiser for Donald Trump. So as far as I'm concerned, anybody that drinks Bud Light who is a progressive, find another beer. Find another beer.
I agree.
I mean, you know, and I was on, I was holding on the line when the two calls came in from Sarge and Joe. They got they called to get the program off track.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Typical.
Just typical. You know, just typical soundbite. That's all they know. They don't have the intelligence to, you know that their God, the MAGA president, Trump, called those called the African nations and Haiti a shithole countries. And they've got the nerve to call in here and say, what is Biden going to do about Haiti? Really? Get your facts right.
Yeah, well, it's what should we be doing about Ukraine? I'm going to bring up the Oscars from last night. And Ukraine won for the short historical, historical, historical film on Ukraine. It was a bittersweet win because of the fact the gentleman said that as far as he was concerned, he would rather have not won the Oscar. He would rather have not done that production. But it had to be done. And I think that we had better listen, because if Ukraine goes down, we all go down. And this is what the MAGA people do not want us to be saying on Kitchen Politics. We have got to keep drumming it into the people that if Ukraine goes down, we all go down.
Yes.
Because if Ukraine goes down,
and I also would like to give kudos to Kimball, Trump in real time, I guess, was blowing Kimball's phone up. So Kimball gave an on-the-air response, which is absolutely precious. And this this response to Trump, thank you for watching. Surprise,
isn't
you're watching. Isn't your jail time? Isn't this past your jail time?
Yeah, that was a good line. That was a good line.
Yeah.
Very good line.
But back to Ukraine. You know, there's no telling. Well, there is, because it's Putin, a former KGB henchman. You know, just like Hitler and just like Napoleon and Genghis Khan and whoever, it won't be enough. Too much is not enough. You know, because as we know, that Hitler, he, you know, went to Czechoslovakia and he went through and has conquered Europe. And then Western allies at the time said, here, what? It's not going to work. If you invade Poland, then it's all over war. It's the same thing with Putin. You know, if he gets Ukraine, does he stop there? No, more than likely not. Because what Putin is trying to do is reestablish the power of the Soviet Union, the former USSR.
Mm-hmm.
And with a man like Trump, who, you know, God forbid, have a 50-50 chance of getting the presidency again, you know, imagine him, you know, getting the presidency. He's going to get the Republican nomination. And according to the rules of the game, when you're a nominee of each party, you're open and you get secrets, you know, about what the FBI is doing, what the CIA is doing, what Homeland Security is doing. And a son of a bitch like Trump will just go back to Russia and say, hey, Putin, this is what the plans is, you know, work with it accordingly, because Trump is beholden to Putin. Okay, I have a man like Trump in there, because this man has taken 200 boxes of secret documents, you know, and yet still he's allowed to grow in the country and, you know, do his Nazi-type rallies and everything and talk garbage, can't put two sentences together coherently. It's just madness. Him with his hand on the nuclear button? No. That's scary.
The dangerous thing is he is getting some briefings because he's running for office. And I hope they are minor briefings. I really do. Because he's only going to use them to get financial gain. That man probably doesn't have enough money to keep a pair of trousers on his butt.
No.
What do you think about him meeting with Orban, Viktor Orban?
I think that's horrible. He thinks he's still president. That's not his job.
But not only that, taking advice from Orban. He really is. He admires him because what he's been able to do in his country. And he got advice from him as well. And he also said that Crane, when he becomes president, will not get a penny of aid from him. Said that as well.
Well, that's walking orders to Trump.
Yes.
You can't give them the tools to fight us back.
Right. You know, and it's just to me, it's treasonous for him even to meet him and have him at his home, like he's a guest. You know, this is a man.
Orban. Orban totally ignored meeting with President Biden as head of state.
Yes, he did.
So that's very not diplomatic and very rude.
Well,
yeah. But Doris, hello Doris, welcome to the show.
I just heard when Elaine, when you said they hope they don't give them, you know, these top secrets. What I understand is they're not going to have those really top secrets, you know, they're not going to be exposed to that, although who knows what he had in his, you know, in this bathroom in Mar-a-Lago, but they're not going to give him the top secret stuff, as I understand, which I'm grateful for that.
It just bothers me that he's getting any information that we, the general public, are not supposed to get. He shouldn't be getting anything. He can't be trusted.
And not only that,
we haven't received, the country, the government has not received those boxes back, have they? Are they
no.
still sitting where they are?
They're still missing boxes.
Right, and there's missing boxes. That's problematic and scary and dangerous. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So here's an article on Orban coming in. For, former President Trump met Friday with Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban as a likely Republican presidential nominee, continued his embrace of autocratic leaders who are part of global pushback against the democratic traditions. Orban has become an icon to some conservative populists for championing what he calls illiberal democracy, replete with restrictions on immigration and LGBTQ rights, plus rights. But he also cracked down on the press and on the judiciary in his country and rejiggered the country's political system to keep his party in power while remaining the closest relationship with Russia among all the European countries. In the U.S., Trump allies have embraced Orban's approach. On Thursday, as foreign dignitaries milled through Washington, D.C., ahead of President Joe Biden's State of the Union address, Orban skipped the White House and instead spoke at the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank overseeing the 2025 project, the effort to create a governing blueprint for Trump's next term, supporting families fighting illegal immigration, supporting families fighting illegal migration and standing up for the sovereignty of our nation. This is the common ground for cooperation between the conservative forces of Europe and the U.S., Orban wrote on X, formerly Twitter, after his Heritage appearance. He then flew to Florida, where he met Trump late Friday afternoon at the former president's front compound, Mar-a-Lago. Orban posted on his Instagram account footage of him and his staff meeting with Trump and the former president's staff, then the prime minister walking through the compound and handing Melania Trump a giant bouquet of flowers. In the video, Trump praised Orban to a laughing crowd. He's a non-controversial figure because he says this is the way it's going to be, and that's the end of it, right? Trump said to the Hungarian prime minister, he's the boss. The Trump campaign said late Friday that the two met a wide range of issues affecting Hungary and the United States, including the paramount importance and secure border to protect the sovereignty of each nation. Campaigning Friday in Pennsylvania, Biden said of Trump, you know who he's meeting with today in Mar-a-Lago? Orban of Hungary, who's stated flatly that he does not think democracy works. He's looking for dictatorship. I see a future where we defend our democracy, not diminish it, Biden said. So, you know, basically, you know, they want the tools of the government to reward their friends and punish their opponents, which is what Orban has done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. So that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Whatever clicking is in the background, could you please stop? Oh my God. You know, stop doing your dishes or whatever. Come on, no.
Okay.
We've been through this a million times.
Okay, and take.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so this is why they're meeting, because he really wants the blueprint. He must love the way he's governing or actually dictating that country. You know, he's snuffing out the news media. You know, he's doing things his way and only his way. And he's getting away with it, it seems. So that is what Trump is hungering for. That is what he wants. He wants an autocracy in this country.
I've been following the political scholars all weekend, and the biggest fear is Trump does not have the money to pay his fines. He does not have the money to pay New York back for what he owes. And that the biggest fear is where and who is going to hand him the money. And
maybe
that is
Elon
my
Musk.
Biggest fear right now. Now, you know, you don't kiss ass to these people unless they're going to, that way Trump works, he doesn't kiss ass a person unless they're going to be handing him money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
So we've got to stay vigilant on this, and we have to keep telling the people what's going on. It, you know, we on this show that call in all the time, and you two, the hosts, we're on the subjects.
Yeah.
Every program, we research, and we're giving you the facts. We know there's a lot of people just plain listen, which is cool. It's good. So we're giving you the facts.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, we'll have a couple more calls and everything. I noticed one from Alaska. I guess this is Boyd. Okay, let's put him through.
Let's see what he has
Hello,
to say.
Hello, Boyd. Welcome to the show. What's popping?
Well, you know, you say you're getting and putting out facts, and I am curious as to where you're getting your facts from.
And I am curious as to where you're getting your facts from. How do you like that? I don't care curious.
Okay, Boyd, we'll get the facts
Listen. If you're gonna get all hysterical on us because we're asking for facts.
Listen to me, Boyd. I'm going to tell you something. This is not your show, first of all. So when you're asked to talk, you talk. That's how it works. And the second thing is that yes, you are sorry. And you do not accuse us of lying because we're not.
Ma'am, did I accuse you of lying? I asked all I asked. Listen. All I asked was where. All I asked was where are you getting your facts at?
Okay.
That you were stating in fact.
One of the sources. Listen, Lori, hold on. One of the sources we get facts from, or I get facts from, C-SPAN, politically neutral. NPR is another politically neutral person. CNN, MSNBC. You know, Voice of America, which is, you know, right-leaning a little bit. You know, some different sources, New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post is very conservative, you know. I personally get information from different sources, definitely not Fox News. Fox News is not a news source.
No, it's not.
It's not. Okay, that's fine. But I don't believe and I don't trust the news sources that you're getting your news from.
Well, because what news sources do you use? We told you what we use. Let me hear your news sources. I would love to hear them.
I admit, I watch a lot of Fox News, I watch a lot of that. You asked, let me answer.
I'm not saying anything.
And I get a lot of my information off of the internet.
Like who?
And, you know, and it's absolutely positively 180 degrees out of
like
what
who?
You are reporting. Yeah. But,
white supremacist news, is that where you get it from?
Yeah.
Breitbart?
Honey,
Don't you honey me, you dirty old man.
I live in Alaska, and I'm fish belly white.
Mm-hmm.
So what? So what has that got to do with it?
I don't know. What do you what do you say?
What has that
to
do with it?
Elaine, hold on.
Okay, so the internet. When you say the internet, you know the internet
right.
can be a really deep, dark rabbit hole. You know that, right? So what internet sources are you talking about? Like, where do you go? I mean, when you type in something, what is the heading of where you're getting your news from? What is the heading?
I do not watch any particular internet news source. I just kind of drift through them all. And
wait a minute. You drift through them all, and all of them are saying the opposite of what we report 3 nights a week here, 3 evenings a week. Is that what you're telling
us? No, I'm not saying that.
I'm confused.
I am saying that there are sources out there that are 180 degrees off of what you're speaking.
Of course there is. Yes. But why do you
I do not believe that those sources are all telling lies either.
How do you determine who is who?
How do I determine?
Oh, well, I determine by who makes sense, who's not hysterical in what they are trying to report.
Who's not hysterical? That's very interesting. Okay, go ahead. And I'm not, if you're saying that I'm hysterical, I'm not. I just do not like to be disrespected. I do not like to have men call in here and think that they can just go ahead and talk over women. I don't like it. Very hard for this show. We've been doing this for over 10 years, David and I have, and I'm not going to have it. And men are not going to take away rights from women. Bottom line, I won't have it.
So I
can have a very nice conversation with you. David and I can, but I will not be disrespected.
So you just said I'm disrespecting you?
No. By calling her hysterical.
That's not really a nice thing. You know?
Yeah, I'm not hysterical. Well, I am passionate because I believe. Do you think that, can I ask you one question? Can I ask you something? Because I'm dying to hear something that makes sense to me. I would like to know, what do you think an autocracy is versus a democracy? What do you think the difference is?
An autocracy?
Yes.
Versus I've never lived under an autocracy, and I've never lived under and I have never lived under a democracy either.
You haven't.
No, ma'am.
Why?
What are
you missing in this country? What are you missing? What kind of rights are you missing? This is a democracy, you know. I know you're going
to
say
I beg to differ with you wholeheartedly. This is a republic that we live in under. This is not a democracy.
What is the difference between a republic and a democracy then? What's the difference? What do you see the difference?
We are a constitutional republic. We do follow, we do have democratic means of governing ourselves by the way that we vote, but we are governed by a republic. We are representative. We are governed by representatives.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. Okay, they make the laws. They make the laws. They make the bills. They spend the money. We vote for our, we really vote for our congressmen, our mayors, our vice presidents, our presidents. We vote for them.
We vote for our councilmen. We vote for everybody. That is a democracy. Now, in an autocracy, you have one man telling everybody what to do. Do you want that? Would you like that? That's
no.
What it's about. That is the difference.
Well,
that's
where excuse me. Excuse
mm-hmm.
me. Where is that happening?
That's what Donald Trump wants, Biden. That's what Donald Trump wants. That's why he's coming up with Putin.
Now let me ask you. Let me ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
Where and when did he say that?
Oh, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Sean, when Sean Hannity a couple weeks back, wait. Sean Hannity a couple weeks back, ask him, you know, do you want to be a dictator? And he said he was joking. Oh, from day one, but just day one. That's what he said. You don't joke about something like that. Okay?
That's right.
And knowing the personality of Donald Trump, who's a vengeful person and a vindictive person, if he goes back into office, he's going to go after his political enemies. Okay? And he's going to try to rule as an autocrat.
That he wants to be a dictator.
Well, let me ask you.
You
mentioned,
listen to his rallies in real time?
Yes.
Did you listen to his rally?
Yes.
Do you listen to his rally? Okay.
And he wants to be a dictator. How many rallies does he have to tell you that? And you're going to say you didn't hear it?
Yeah, he said it.
Is that what you're going to say?
How many rallies has he said that in then?
At least three.
Oh, he says it quite often. And, you know, I don't write it down. Every time I hear it, I get disgusted every time I hear it and angry. Because
and you haven't heard it?
No.
Wait, you haven't heard it?
No.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, it's selective hearing.
Now who's
trying to pull the wool over?
Just hold on.
Let me ask.
Listen to all outlets.
Hold on.
You never heard Donald Trump say that he wants to be a dictator.
You cannot be, Ilya, screaming like that and everything. We're trying to have a conversation.
I'm not screaming. I will be screaming in a minute. Every time I go to make a point, you keep telling me that I shouldn't be making a point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is becoming a man against a woman show. Goodbye.
No, but do it in a calm way. You don't have to... Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. So... What I'm saying to you is you should go back and start listening to the things that he says. Do you think it's proper for a man that's running for president, to call his opponent, Christy Haley, a bird brain, her husband is in the military. He's been gone for 8 months, and he keeps asking where her husband is. I mean, because he's not on the trail with her, he wasn't on the campaign trail with her, and he keeps on saying, where's your husband? Well, he's in the military. He's on duty.
He's a loser and sucker, right?
You know,
let me say this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have been involved in politics for a long time. And when you get into politics, there's going to be blood in the street.
Wait a minute.
It's a blood sport.
It is a blood sport. Not like this, sir. I'm sorry to tell you. It's never been this polarized. It's never been this evil. It's never been the way it is now. It really never has. And you know that, and I know that.
In my 73 years rotating the damn sun, okay, I have never, ever seen a political party take a political opponent and run him through court on charges that cannot be verified.
Oh, my goodness.
It was not Joe Biden who indicted Donald Trump. It was an American citizen by jury. What are you talking about, man?
You have nothing to do with the president. Our president has stayed away. I don't know if you've paid attention. See, that's part of the problem. You have to pay attention. President Biden has never, the DOJ has stayed away. The DOJ hired somebody else that was totally neutral. Actually, he's a Republican. Jack Smith is a Republican. I don't know if you know that. And he's the one that went after Donald Trump. And do you think it's okay that Donald Trump has all these documents, these top secret orange labeled documents in his bathroom in Mar-a-Lago? And there still are hundreds of boxes missing with all our information, all our top secrets that he can sell anywhere he wants, that makes our country unstable and as far as can be attacked. Do you think that's right? No, it's not. It's not right.
Well, let me ask you, is it right? Yes, he has the right to do that.
No,
yes,
he
has
not.
The right.
He doesn't. No,
he
doesn't.
He does not.
Yes, he does.
No,
he does.
He says so. No, he does not have the right.
Who says so?
He does not have the right for
the Presidential Records Act.
No, gives him that right.
The Presidential Records Act talks about
wrong.
Stuff that reflects their No, I'm talking about their history, but it's set up through the presidential libraries. It doesn't mean you just take home whatever the hell you want, regardless of whether it's military plans to invade other countries and stuff. That is not his right at all. And the fact that he made up some horse shit about how he mentally cleared them with his mind, that is bullshit. Complete and total
bullshit. Then you need to have a conversation, a serious conversation with your congressman to get them to rewrite the Presidential Records Act.
No.
And now I've got a question.
And I assure you, my Congress people and our senators know what he did was wrong and do not believe in him. And do not tolerate this bullshit that he's doing. He didn't declassify anything. He can't just declassify it with his mind. There's a procedure to do that, which he never did. And he is full of crap. And the fact that
you
believe
sure?
in
are
him,
you,
full
are
of
you,
crap.
So can
are
I,
you 100, are you 100% I, sure? And do you
yeah,
have
yeah.
witnesses to attest to that?
Witnesses to attest to what? Witnesses to attest to what? You haven't seen the boxes? You have not seen them? Aren't you worried that maybe another country that does not like the United States has, like Saudi Arabia, has top secrets? Why did Jared Kushner get paid $200 billion? When they left office, why? When he went to see them at the end, why did he get $200 billion from the Saudis? Do you have an answer for that? I don't.
$2 billion.
I have never heard of it.
Okay, so this is the problem that we have.
Well, that makes it true. Because apparently
this
you
is
haven't
the
heard of much.
That we have. Right.
Well,
so this is a problem that we have, okay? Whatever sources you are listening to are not telling you the truth. I am sorry to tell you that, but I am telling you the truth. I can look it up right now and I could send you that information that tells you that Jared Kushner got $200 billion from the Saudis.
$2 billion.
It's $2 billion, not $200 billion.
Yeah, $2 billion. I meant $2 billion. I'm sorry. $2 billion. $2 billion. When you read something on the internet and you wondered what has witnesses, that's kind of a different standard you set for everybody else, and you skim through the internet and you don't know what the sources are. That's interesting.
See, that's the problem,
well,
sir, that you're
having. Here's the interesting thing, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Since nobody has been able to come up with any witnesses on anything.
Listen to this. When the FBI and the Secret Service, whoever it was, went to Mar-a-Lago and they busted into his house because they had a warrant, etc. It was all legal what they did. Just like they could bust into my house if they think I have illegal documents in my house, right? They went in there, and there are witnesses, sir. There's witnesses that work for him that helped with the boxes. He had them move the boxes. But those witnesses cannot talk because when it's their turn to testify so they don't go to prison, that's what they have to do. So they cannot speak. They cannot talk to the press. And don't you remember, do you remember the witnesses? I do. I remember them. I don't remember the names, but I could find them, and I would recognize the names. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the people who work for him are all
Republicans. These are not some Democrats drumming up some kind of bullshit. This is stuff that really happened, and he ignored a subpoena for over a year. He lied and told them he didn't have the stuff, which he did. And has just been a complete ass about the whole thing, and always is.
Okay. Now, on that subject, on the subject of that, and you asked me if I fear that Donald Trump will be giving this information to a foreign adversary. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes.
I do not fear Donald Trump doing that. However,
well, you should because
I am damn sure that China has a lot of our secret information that came from Joe Biden.
Really?
Yeah,
why? Well, you have to prove that.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What proof do you have of that?
What proof do you have, sir? What proof do you have? How do you know that?
First off, where did they find all of these documents that Joe Biden had?
He called them up and said, oh, my God, we have these things by mistake. Please come get them. He didn't destroy subpoenas. He didn't lie and say he didn't hide them in his ex-wife's grave, which is probably where the rest of them are, because somebody who was cremated took 10 people to carry her coffin. Now, cremated ashes don't weigh a whole shitload, you know?
I absolutely know because I have my wife's cremated ashes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
now,
you know it doesn't take 10 people to carry them out to a golf course and hide
out
a coffin.
But here is the other thing, okay? The documents that President Trump has, he kept under the presidential records
act.
Yes,
there is
no such thing
that allows him to take these home. You're making up crap, and it is not true.
Well,
why is the government subpoenaing him to get him to back? They're not his to have.
They don't
have any more right than you do or I do. He's an American citizen now. He is not the goddamn president.
But if he wants
to have a library,
tell me.
Go ahead.
tell me.
You can't read. What the hell does he need a library for?
Tell me how records showed up in Joe Biden's possession that he had absolutely no right to have because they came from when he... Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me finish.
Stick with it.
I am taking a stand.
Why does Trump have the right but Biden doesn't?
Trump has the right for the Presidential Retention Act. Joe Biden has documents that he had no right to have in his house from when he was a senator and vice president, and those documents were never allowed. Excuse me. Excuse me.
It's not
those
what
documents,
happened. No, because
those
you're making
documents,
up bullshit. You are completely making up crap.
Well, okay. If I'm making up stuff, then tell me how he got those documents in his house. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Tell me.
He called up and told them they were here by mistake. Please come get them. He didn't hide them. He didn't hide from subpoenas.
Tell me.
He didn't lie repeatedly. He did the honest, indecent thing.
Tell me. Tell me.
I will tell you. If you stop for a moment, I'll tell you. I heard him say, and I believe the president. He has been around for, 50 years now in government. He was 29 years old when he was elected the first time. 29 years old. So think about
and
this.
He's decent and
you have to
man
think
about
this.
So
okay.
Tell me how documents that were never supposed to leave the skiff got in his house.
Wait.
Then you're going
he was
to
a part
me.
Of the international. Wait a minute, Laurie. Let me answer the question.
Go ahead.
He was part of the International Relations Committee when he was part of the Senate. Okay, and this is how he has documents. He's privy to such documents as the then chairman of the International. The committee in charge of international affairs and what have you, armed services committee, what have you. Okay?
So when he was leaving the White House as vice president.
Can I answer the goddamn question? You asked me a question, let me answer it. When he was leaving as vice president of the United States, his staff packed his things. Okay?
Exactly.
And, you know, and they just packed indiscriminately, not looking what it is. Okay, and then as soon as Joe Biden found out what it was, he called relevant people and said, here what, I have this, I shouldn't have this, come get them. What Donald Trump did is keep them, you know, hide them all over his Mar-a-Lago, didn't want escaping subpoenas and everything, and being dishonest about it. And when he was having dinner parties, he said, oh, you know, these are the plans right here that, you know, showing people that, hey, we're going to invade Iran. Now tell me, is that a responsible person who should be in the White House and can have his button hand on the button for the nuclear war? No. He talks too much. He thinks he knows everything, and he's irresponsible, okay? He should not be in the White House. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, let me say this, okay? Biden, while he was in the Senate and on the Foreign Relations Committee, had and was allowed to see secret documents, and he was privileged to be able to see and read those documents.
Yes.
However, he was not allowed to leave the skiff with those documents in his possession. Those documents were never allowed to leave the skiff.
And that is why Boyd, when he found it, he called relevant people and said, here, what, come pick these up. It don't belong to me. Okay?
So how did he get... How does he get away with breaking the law by taking those documents out of the skiff? How does he get away with taking those documents out of the skiff that is illegal?
So is Trump having them. Trump had no right to take any of that shit.
Well, Trump had a whole lot more, Floyd, because I can just say, I can see that, or I feel that you are not going to believe what we say anyways about President Biden. For some reason, you dislike him, and you feel that Trump would be a better president. I want you to Google, when you hang up, okay, you can Google this, or you can go to our website, but I just Google it. That way you know that it's not something that I made up. Google Project 25. Google that.
Have you heard of that?
And read it. And read it. That is what's going to happen if Trump is elected. It has been planned for months upon months by the Heritage Foundation. Do you know who the Heritage Foundation is?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And about 30 other conservative think tanks. Now, you have to read this because this is something that you talk about the Constitution. There will be no Constitution. So I would like for you to Google that. And the next time we have a show, you call in and you can tell us what you think about Project 2025. Okay? It is done by the Heritage Foundation. Not by President Biden, not by any Democrat, the Heritage Foundation. And it's been okayed by Trump.
Oh,
okay. 2025. Okay?
Okay.
So that you will have a better understanding of when I ask you if you will know the difference between an autocracy or a dictatorship and our republic democracy. Okay? You will see the correlation. You will see the difference. And I think maybe you'll start to understand why we are afraid we're going to lose our republic, if that's what you want to call it, democracy. Okay? Is that fair?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Boyd, okay. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's get some more callers in.
Thank you.
Okay, Elaine is back with us and everything. Elaine, sorry for screaming and shouting at you, but sometimes we have to give and take. We have to listen and then respond, you know? This shouting match is just jarring. And, you know, no matter who does it, we're not well allow it, you know? Okay, Elaine? Okay, I guess Elaine hung up. Okay.
She did?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. Yes, ma'am. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So I truly believe that Boyd might be able to be saved. I really do. I kind of think that he's looking for some answers. And I do believe that where he's looking for his answers, he's not going in the right places. And
correct.
If he's still listening to Fox, we know that Fox was already sued for defamation with billions of dollars, and they're back at it again. It'll be just a matter of time before Fox News is shut down again. It's sued again. Bottom line.
Yep. For lying.
So, Doris, you think Boyd can be saved, maybe?
Well, the point
I doubt
is,
it. I had to doubt it.
Stops
no.
talking. If he has to ask questions about everything and prove he'll take up all the time, but he's not contributing
mm-hmm.
anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's not
yeah.
contributing.
I'm,
if
that,
he
yeah, and that's why
he doesn't know things. He doesn't know things we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why when I'm taking a more right-wing call, I see them lining up here and everything. So when I take a call, you may as well hang up. Biden wants $4.7 billion emergency fund for border migrants surges.
Mm-hmm.
And the NBC News reporting that congressional Republicans have already refused to approve $136 billion the administration wanted for border security
mm-hmm.
and border agencies facing border shortfalls. $4.7 billion in emergency funds for border security to enable the Department of Homeland Security to ramp up operations in the event of a migrant surge, according to the portion of the budget reviewed by NBC News. The contingency fund would let the Department of Homeland Security tap into funds on an as-need basis when the number of undocumented migrants crossing the southern border tops a certain threshold that is unspecified in the budget. If money is not used to address a surge, the money will be transferred to the General Funds of Customs and Border Patrol, that's the CBP, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. So the question is likely to fall on deaf ears among congressional Republicans who have already refused to fund $13.6 billion the Biden administration asked for in an emergency supplemental request aimed at responding to a high record number of migrants crossing the border. You know, so as always, you know, is no to everything, because when the shit hit the fan, they need this money. And, you know, people coming across the border and everything, and then that way have the supplemental income to put in different agencies at a border protection agency, ICE and FEMA. You know, so it's going to be a crisis, basically. You know, and that's what Republicans are working towards. You know, that's what they want. You know, we'll give away the farm in this bill that Langford, you know, James Langford from Oklahoma, U.S. Senator, for 12 weeks, he and the majority lead and Democrats worked together diligently to get this bill together. You know?
Absolutely.
Democrats gave away almost everything. And because of this orange rat bastard, you know, saying no. You know, who's he to say no? He's not an elected official. You know, this is the problem with the Republican Party.
Yes, it's obvious, though, David. I think it's obvious that for some reason they are beholden to him. And there is a bigger picture that we have not figured out what it is yet. That's the problem. We know Putin's probably involved. I would not be surprised, and I have no proof, so I can't, you know, this is just my feeling, my own feeling. I would not be surprised if the $91 million that he posted that bail last week did not come from Russia or some other oligarch. That's how I feel. It had to have come. He does not have the money. That's obvious. And, I don't think he has the cash.
Is it possible? Is it possible Elon Musk could give it to him? He's real rich.
Well, Elon, he had a meeting with Elon Musk. I'm sorry. He had a meeting with Elon Musk as well last week or the beginning of last week, I believe he did, and a couple Republican billionaires as well. So it's hard to say where that money came from, but I think they have to. They're going to find out where it came from, because they can't just allow him to get money from wherever he wants without knowing the sources, you know, without knowing the source. I think that would be a travesty of justice, in my opinion.
Exactly. We have a new caller from Michigan. Hello, Michigan.
Okay.
4142. Hello. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show. What's cooking? You're live on air.
Doesn't want to talk. It's okay.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. So, Yes, ma'am. So, okay, so the request is likely to fall on deaf ears and everything. And so when the backup happens, it's going to be hell. You know, because, you know, they have a humanitarian crisis depending on how many people come or try to come across the border. And, you know, Republicans have nothing else to run on. And it's going to backfire majorly, you know, when the news go out there to the people who, you know, will start paying attention, know that Langford and Democrats work on that bill And because Trump's a gnaw, he, you know, don't vote for the bill, their own goddamn bill, then, you know, people will smarten up and say, here what? You asked for something for years, Democrats gave you, and you said no, so you're part of the problem, not part of the solution, you know?
Yep.
So.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. It is so black and white. I mean, if you can't understand what's happening here, then you should not have an opinion. Let's just put it that way. Because President Biden said he'd sign the bill. The Democrats and Republicans worked together. That bill was probably more than the Democrats would have put in the bill. But
yes,
they, in order to get it passed, and to appease these Republicans, they did it. And President Biden said he would sign it. Then Johnson got the phone call, or he got the word, whatever he got, and he said, kill the bill. And that's exactly what happened. They listened to him. They listened to him. So what do you do about that? I mean, how can you solve that when you have people that don't believe that the bill was killed after they tell you that they've been working on for 2 weeks? I mean, it's ridiculous. You have to have some common sense, and you have to think before you, you know, make accusations and say that it's Biden's fault. It's not. It's not Biden's fault. And then, David, you have that article there about, who am I thinking of? The Abbott, about Abbott. You have it there.
Oh, yeah, getting it up on there. Yeah, remember something wrong with my phone, so, you know, it's giving me problems. Getting up soon and everything. Greg Abbott. He about escalating the border lockout against feds.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, things like that is wrong. Yes. You know, he doesn't have power over the federal government.
No.
What the hell is this?
And he's
he
not allowed.
He does,
and
but
he has, and you know, David, he ordered the National Guard to bar federal agents from key crossing points. You know, it's not his job to do that. It's not his job. That is not part of his job to make those kind of orders. You know. And the Supreme Court has already told him to take down that razor wire in the Rio Grande. The conservative Supreme Court.
So the White House is already demanding that the Supreme Court allow it to rip down the miles of razor wires. The state government has thrown across a 29-mile section of the border around Eagle Pass, and now the Texas National Guard has barred Border Patrol agents entirely from the 2.5-mile section of Selma Park, and defiantly stationed its military vehicle at the entrance to block access. You know, and again, federal Trump's state. You know, so I don't know what amateurs thinking or trying to do and everything. According to the Eagle Pass Mayor, Roland Salinas, this is not a decision that we agreed to, and this is not something that we wanted. This is not something that we asked for as a city. I want to make that clear. You know, so Greg Abbott thinks he's above the federal government, and tensions have been rising for months between state and federal authorities. Amid a surge in record illegal crossings, which reached an all-time high of 301,000 in December. So immigration has become a flashpoint of the upcoming election, with both Biden and Trump conducting competing visits to the border on the same day. Last month, Texas troopers began arresting migrants across the border for criminal trespass before they could surrender to U.S. Border Patrol and seek asylum. So they're targeting these people deliberately, and just arresting them. You know, everybody, as Elaine Wright said last show, have a right to seek an asylum, whichever country it is. You know, so but because these people like Abbott and his peons are so racist, they don't want the brown people in. Because if the brown people get in and get asylum and eventual citizenship, they'll say, oh, okay, Republicans screwed me over, Democrats helped me, so I'm going to vote Democratic. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a political long game, basically, that's going on. Republicans fear that brown people and non-white people who immigrate to this country will vote against them. And that means Republican Party should be looking to themselves and say, hey, we need to change things up a little, you know, instead of having, you know, 92% of the U.S. Senate being white men, you know, mix it up a little bit. Your party, like, have women, have minorities, have gays. Good luck with having gays. I don't know what a lot of having Republicans are doing, being, you know, supporting Trump, because people hate them in a Republican Party. As Kevin McCarthy rightly said, that when you look at the Republicans, it looks like a country club. When you look at Democrats and the Democratic Party, it looks like what America is looking like, black, brown, Asian, Jewish, all types of people. So they need to change. Republicans need to change, but they're not willing to change because, you know, they think, oh, I'm a white man, I'm up top. Everybody else, trickle-down economics. You know what it is? They're peeing on people saying trickle-down economics. And since Herbert Hoover days, trickle-down economics has not worked. You know, back in those days, they didn't have a name for it. You know, but now it has trickle-down economics. And their policies have crashed the stock market since 1929. And every time since then, when they ruin the economy, it's Democrats who come back and fix whatever screw up they do. You know, so it's like they never learn. And people who vote for them don't learn. They're so, I don't know what the word is for it. They're so brainwashed, you know. It's like these media sound bites. Like, for example, Boyd. I believe he's a good guy and everything. He's from Alaska. But where are your sources coming from? You watch Fox News say, okay, and Fox News has been proven over and over again that they're liars, and that's why Dominion is suing them. You know?
Yeah.
Everything they say is a lie. You know?
I
so
know.
Why do you watch Fox News?
You know, and also Internet. David, and we know that that internet can be a big, black, dark rabbit hole. It can be if you don't watch your reading, you know, and if you go into these websites, you don't know who posted these websites. It's white nationalists that posted these. It could be the KKK that posted them. They have ways of doing that. I mean, we know that.
Right.
Know your sources.
In the town hall meeting in Iowa before the Iowa caucuses, former President Trump sat down with Sean Hannity, and it's like a minute 30 seconds. I will play this clip now. And this is what he had to say when Sean Hannity asked him about, you know, being a dictator.
Well, Trump really said it. He'll be a dictator for a day if reelected.
He says, you're not going to be a dictator, are you? I said, no. Other than day one,
Trump made the extraordinary vow at a town hall in Iowa moderated by Fox News host Sean Hannity, who was attempting to quell fears that Trump would exact revenge on his political enemies.
You are promising America tonight you would never abuse power as retribution against anybody.
Except for day one.
The promise from Donald Trump to be a dictator. Trump's comments are sparking outrage today.
Stunning comments about a potential second term.
Think about it. If any other politician in American history were asked the question, are you going to be a dictator? No.
Fox News brushed it off as a joke.
He was joking about those dictator comments. What he did there is brilliant. He made it into a joke.
Despite the rumors, Trump will not be attending tonight's Republican primary debate in Alabama.
Well, Trump, it's a joke. You don't get to joke, okay, because... You know, you're a buffoon. You've proven that you're a buffoon and you're a loser and you're a liar. In your 4 years, you've lied over 30,000 times, you know, and lie just for lying sake, you know. And you're erratic and you call women emotional or hysterical, you know. Who's more hysterical and emotional than Donald Trump, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine after the State of the Union,
he was talking about, you know, Joe Biden in swimwear. What does that have to do with anything? He's just unhinged. He's crazy. He's losing his mind. You know, and Donald Trump had the nerve to say, "Oh, he thinks he'd look better in a Speedo than Joe Biden." I'm like, what does that have to do with anything, boss? You know, what are you crazy? You know,
I know.
He's wrong. Joe Biden looked better than him, but you know,
he's certifiable, David. He really is.
Yeah,
I think he's lost it. He's under so much pressure that I think his brain's going to blow pretty soon, or what he's got left of it. But this is what he said after the State of the Union. This is what Trump said. I saw a very angry and confused man. I assume he's going to be the candidate. I think it's probably, maybe, was a terrible performance, but it was probably good enough to get him over the heap, to get him over the barriers as to whether or not he's going to be their nominee. Okay, sorry, but that was probably the best, State of Union address that I've heard in a long time. In my opinion.
Yes. So democracy versus a republic. The key difference between a democracy and a republic lies in the limits placed on the government by the law, which was implications of minority rights. Both forms of government tend to use a representational system, that is, citizens vote to elect politicians to represent their interests and form the government. In a republic, a constitution or charter of rights protects certain inalienable rights that cannot be taken away by the government, even if it has been elected by a majority of voters. In a pure democracy, the majority is not restrained in this way and can impose its will on the minority. Most modern nations, including the United States, are democratic republics with a constitution which can be amended by popularly elected government. This comparison therefore contrasts the form of government in most countries today with the theoretical construction of a pure democracy, mainly to highlight the features of a republic. Okay, so can we argue that we're both a republic and a democracy? So the philosophy of democracy is, in a democracy, the continuity or the community of people are considered to hold power over how they are governed. Kings and tyrants are seen as threats to the innate right of the people. As such, all eligible citizens can equally say in decisions. Compared to a republic, republics are in opposition to rulership by a single person. All eligible citizens get equal say in decisions through elected representatives. Unalienable rights of individuals are protected by law to safeguard against the majority abusing the minority. Okay, so, you know, they're again the contradicting themselves, where, you know, they want Trump in there, but Trump wants to be a dictator, a one-person ruler and everything, and republics is in opposition to rulership by a single person. So the people who support Donald Trump don't know what a republic is compared to a democracy. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
How can you support Donald Trump, you know, when he wants to be a dictator, basically?
You have to
get a flat straight.
Yeah, you're right, David. And you have to ask yourself the question, why is he meeting with these people? Why is he meeting with these, you know, why is he in love with Putin? And why is he in love with now this from Portugal, the president from Portugal or whatever they call him, if he's the president? Why is
Hungary, Orban.
Sorry, was hungry. Yes. You know, you have to wonder why that Orgon, that's his name, you know, why is he so fascinated by him? It's because he is an autocrat. He's a dictator.
Right.
He has changed their government.
And he likes that because it's the ruler. He said it himself that he likes that. So it's not rocket science to figure out. It really is not rocket science. If he can get in there, the one thing that he wants to be is the boss. The boss.
He doesn't want to live in a rule of laws. He doesn't want to live in laws because he can't do it.
Yes, he cannot. And he wants to get off of, he wants to also not go to prison. That's the other reason. That's probably the main reason. And now he's found out that he could, you know, be a dictator and then really, you know, put the screws to the people that he feels have done him wrong, you know. And just think about a country that doesn't have, you know, like reporting, you know, like MSNBC or CNN or NPR or the BBC, you know, all of that. How, can you imagine living in a world like that? Well, that's what Oregon is doing. He's taking away that, you know, from them. So these people live in the dark, you know, and who knows if they have internet as well. So it's very scary to think about.
They go after the journalists.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely go after them. You know?
You know, a couple of resources I've been reading. Actually, there's more writing in some journals or, you know, journalist writing than you get on TV even. And one of them is The Guardian. They don't have any, you know, like major funders like billionaires. The Intercept, and they're quite lengthy and detailed. And I thought, well, damn, I never see that on TV.
And there's also ProPublica. Have you ever read that? Yeah, and ProPublica.
I have. I've been exposed to that one. I can't tell you all about it, but that doesn't come across as any way negative at all.
No. So you know, I mean,
and it's all in writing. It's in writing. It's already written up so I can refer to it, you know.
So, okay, so a democracy compared to a republic, the common confusion in the United States really is that people commonly confuse direct democracy with representative democracy. The United States officially has a representative style, though many have suggested that the United States is closer to an oligarchy or plutocracy, which is very true. So the United States is actually a democratic republic. It is governed by the rule of law. The elected are bound by oath to the written governing limits, that's the Constitution, yet vote together and create laws to address concerns and represented in a democratic way. Yeah, so, you know, we're a constitutional rule.
Oh, I just want to ask you, because you seem to be familiar with some of these things. I wondered about a parliamentary system. They send in representatives too, but whereas we have the Senate is very different in terms of democratic, because, you know, you can have 10 times, 100 times more people in one state, and they only have two senators. Is there anything unequal like that in the parliamentary system, that if you're aware of that?
Well, how Britain runs it, for example, is a parliamentary system. You have the House of Lords, which is an upper chamber, and the House of Commons, which is the lower chamber where members of Parliament are elected. I have over 500 seats in the British Parliament. Oh, no, near 700. What am I talking about? You know, so that's a democratic, what would you call Britain? You would call Britain a direct democracy, a parliamentary democracy, I should say, you know. And what's a constitutional republic? Because the head of state is the queen, you know?
Right.
So democracy, modern examples are of democracy. More than half the world, United States, Canada, Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, the United Kingdom is an example of a democratic country that is not a republic since it has a monarch, you know? So the United States is a constitutional democratic republic because we don't have a monarch. You know, that's the
difference. Does the House of Lords like have more power? Each one, like the Senate does.
No, they have no power. They have no power. No, they're appointed by the Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition, and appointed by the Queen.
Can they undo votes or overcome votes of the lower chamber?
Good question. They can't make any laws and money bills that have nothing to do with. I'll have to read up more about it and everything on talking to cousins in Manchester and Liverpool. But, you know, the House of Lords is just pretty ceremonial because the House of Lords have, you know, dukes and usually people in that upper echelon of society in Great Britain.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, they're appointed to the seat. They don't have to run for the seat and everything. And
well,
it's a lifetime appointment.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like the Supreme Court. Because with the Senate, the way it is, that can always be a block. Although in this case, the House is a block because of the way that the Republicans are and we control the Senate. But the Senate is not Democratic in representation because a large number of, you know, they only get two votes. If you got a tiny state, those are strong, powerful votes compared to California, which is has less because they don't have that kind of representation. That's what I think that's too bad. Because it can block it up. Usually, I think it's the Senate that can block it because they really aren't as representative. Except right now, we're in charge of it, and we're in charge of it. But if they were in charge of it, that'd be a different story. But they're in charge of the House, so they're getting away with that.
But
I do think I have some reason to feel that we'll get more people in the House and maybe keep the Senate. I hope.
Yep. Yes, ma'am. So, you know, what is a republic? The term republic is used today refers to a representative democracy with an elected head of state, such as the president, serving for a limited term. Even in a republic, it is the voice of a majority that rules through chosen representatives. However, there is a charter or constitution of basic rights that protects the minority from being completely unrepresented or overridden. So,
except for the filibuster can make the minority rule. You know, when they use the filibuster, then they can present more than
My other question would be, are a democracy and a republic mutually exclusive, you know?
Well, it's the democracy in the sense that, well, it says the House and the Senate, they're not as democratic in terms of representing the people, but you can have a representative government still have democratic features, but with gerrymandering, that changes the nature, and voter suppression changes it, and one body, you know, one body like a Senate, you know, House, the California doesn't have nearly as much representation for their numbers as Utah, and so it's not as directly democratic as a total democracy, even though they're representative, it's still...
Now, the Republic continues to be mentioned in the Pledge of Allegiance, for example, which was written in 1892 and later adopted by Congress in 1942 as an official pledge. And under God was added later on during the Eisenhower administration.
Right. Keeping religion out of government. So,
absolutely.
While the founders disagreed regarding the role of federal government, none sought to build a pure democracy. And Alexander Hamilton wrote, and I quote, "We're now forming a republican government. Real liberty is neither found in despotism or the extremes of democracy, but moderate governments." Alexander Hamilton. And James Madison wrote, and I quote, "It is that in a democracy, the people meet and exercise the government in person. In a republic, they assume and admire and administer it by their representatives and agents. A democracy, consequently, must be confined to a small spot. A republic may be extended over a large region." James Madison.
You know, Alexander Hamilton never had slaves, but, you know, most of the other founding fathers, many of them did. But he didn't. He didn't have slaves forever. Well, so that's nice.
Neither
did Robert E. Lee, who was in the Confederate. He never had slaves until his wife brought them in from being the granddaughter of George Washington. That was kind of ironic, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Robert E. Lee who freed the slaves that she brought. Little things I never learned in school.
Right. Do you know that the first 12 presidents of the United States, or first 14, had slaves? And then, you know, each president kept a cannon on the road on a slavery issue. You know, it could have been solved a long time, but, you know, nobody wants to touch it. You know, it you know, mushroomed into the Civil War and everything. And hopefully we can come together and come to our senses and say, here what, we have a problem with immigration. You know, Democrats and Republicans tried it in the Senate, but because of one single person who was never qualified to be president, you know, he's not even a good businessman. When the throat, he's not a good businessman. Exactly. He has been bankrupt six times. How can you inherit $400 million and been bankrupt six times?
Yeah.
And the funny part is, it was casinos. What?
How can you bankrupt a casino? That's crazy.
I never of a casino
you know?
Going bankrupt, except for his.
Mm-hmm.
Casinos are there to make money. Casinos make money every single day. People lose money every single day in a casino.
Right.
So how can you bankrupt a casino? Well, I think the way he probably did it is probably more than likely, if he was making any profit, he probably pocketed it, you know? Who knows what he did? And he didn't put it back to the casino, you know?
Well, he owed Russian mafia so much he owed Russian mafia so much money that I guess he was skimming off top and that's how probably, you know, it got bankrupt and everything. Another example is Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission in 2012. Citizens United is a conservative organization that sued the Federal Election Commission over its restrictions on campaign financing. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of Citizens United, saying that a restriction of an organization or corporation's right to fund a political campaign is a restriction of the entity's free speech right under the First Amendment. You know, how can a corporation have free speech rights?
Person.
It's a corporation, not a person. You know?
Exactly.
That was wrong. Yeah. That was wrong. There's no question about it. And to say speech is, money is speech, I mean, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Money should not be speech, you know?
No.
And the United States
was... this is wrong.
It is.
And that's
got to
be gotten rid of. But you know what? The funny thing is, the people who don't take those corporate billionaires or big corporate money or that kind of stuff, they still are making it, like the Squad and Bernie Sanders and so on. They don't take that kind of money, but they're really at a disadvantage in terms of having the money to spend for campaigns. And so if they could just get rid of that again at some point, I would – huh?
I don't think that's
never happened.
I don't know.
Well,
it must talk. Mm-hmm. Money talk. Hi, everybody. It's Maddie.
Hi,
Maddie. I don't know. I just got on to it. It's money's been doing it the whole time. That's the problem.
Yes, Ryan.
They like crooks. I really get it. And look they're all been crooks already. I mean, what do you do there when they... Go ahead.
Bernie Sanders doesn't take that money. Neither does AOC or the Squad or Jamal Bowman.
You're right. It's not 100%, but if the Supreme Court is crooked, who do you trust?
Yeah, there are a few in it. There are a few non in there, but they're at a disadvantage from trying to be clean. You get the corruption coming in trying to get rid of them.
That's right. The majority there, money.
$100 million is being targeted for the Squad and about four other people of color in the Progressive Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
By APAC. That's a lot of money. $100 million.
Yes, it is. Terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, yeah. That question that Boyd raised about, you know, America being a republic. I'm going to read up more about that and everything, because is it mutually exclusive, being a republic and a democracy?
What he was saying is, what he was saying, and, you know, that in a republic, you go by the Constitution. And he said, in a democracy, then the Senate and the House, you know, make the decisions. That's the democracy part. And the republic part, that's what he was trying to say. Do I find that to be logical? I don't think so. But, you know, so in other words, types like Boyd, people that are Republicans and Trumpers like Boyd, stuck in the mud, believe that that Constitution is their Bible. They read every single word, like the Second Amendment, and they will not veer from that Second Amendment, even though it's killing people on a daily basis.
But, you know, that Second Amendment, the whole thing they don't take on is, and one of the previous Supreme Court justices wrote about it. I don't remember who it was, but if I Googled it, I find out who it was. And he talked about how just because you say a right to bear arms, it doesn't mean anything and everything, you know, whatever. Like, why can't I have a little nuclear weapon I carry around, right? The point is, like, dealing with the really military weapons, somebody will argue, what's an assault weapon, what is it? But, you know, where you can fire a lot of bullets real fast and kill a lot of people, whatever gun that is, to be out in public. That's a different issue, but I don't know that there's no argument against having that kind of weapon, military weapon. They need your right to be armed.
I feel about the Second Amendment, ladies, that, hey, it's enshrined in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, but at the same time, the Founding Fathers didn't foresee M16s and AR-15s and what have you. So we should update the Constitution.
Right.
They had muskets at the time, you know, why would anybody who's not serving in the armed forces have an AR-15 and everything? Because, you know, the most people that I know who own a gun are responsible, whether Democrat, Republican. But if you come, you know, like to a grinding halt, the conversation where, you know, some politicians are right saying, oh, Democrats want to take away your guns. They've been saying that since SVR days. Didn't happen from then till now, why people still fall for this crap about Democrats trying to take away guns? What we're saying is that you should be more responsible. I'm speaking still. We're saying that you should be more responsible. And why not have gun liability insurance? I bet you any money that, you know, certain people, whether left or right, would be even more responsible with their guns. You know, you know, somebody who have an AR-15, they shouldn't have an AR-15. It's not for hunting, you know, because a gun expert I know, who's a former cop, saying that tear people apart. That's a weapon of war. And he's a right-wing Republican, you know? So, you know, we need good sense to prevail. And all these kids being murdered by whack jobs who are out of their minds and need meds, and they, you know, have a chance to get a gun because it's in the Second Amendment that's enshrined in the Constitution. No. Yeah, we need red flag laws. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that you can argue about what being armed means. You know, change the definition of that, or make the gun companies responsible if something happens by somebody who they sold a gun or who had a gun sold to them. Just something. I think there's more than can be done, because during 10-year period, it was Biden was in, well, he's been there for 50 years, but I think he was a senator or whatever. Under the time he was there in the 90s, for about 10 years, they banned some degree of assault weapon, and the numbers of deaths did go down. And then the Republicans were in power, and they let it, this 10-year period, they did revote it. You know, like, why would you have to put an end in 10 years? Most laws, you don't do that. But it did. It ended in 10 years, and deaths did go down, and then they came back up, and they came back. So that does tell you something. that those kinds of weapons kill more people. That was a study in and of itself. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Okay, well, thank everybody for calling and everything. We're going over time now and everything. And there's a reason why we didn't get other people online, because when these right-wing people come on, they try to disrupt the program and speak over everybody. Lynn, sorry I screamed at you and shouted at you earlier, but, you know, when Boyd was on, you asked him a question and you continued on and on. On this show, whether you're left or right, when you ask a question, we'll give each other a chance. There's a communication, okay? And I don't mean to, like, set you down or anything, but, you know, we're trying to have dialogue, not screaming over each other and shouting over each other. You know, we're not passionate in these conversations and everything, these topics. But we have to give and take. We have to give and take and listen to that side, and they listen to our side, you know. But, you know, for the record, no more right-wing calls, because these right-wing people are lunatics. And when it comes to our show, for some reason, they try to, like, you know, try to dictate where the show goes.
You know why? Because they know what we say makes sense. And they know that we research what we talk about. And we don't lie. We tell the truth. And we try to enlighten people. That's why they're upset. It's the only reason. Not because we talk bad about somebody, except Trump.
Yeah, Trump is a dick. We can all agree on that. So we thank everybody for calling and listening. And the worldwide audience, let's say it's a spike there, especially in Latin America, Argentina, Brazil, Peru, you know, whomever. Wow. Okay. So thank you for listening. Remember, kitchenpolitics123.com is the website. And more articles will be coming. And we'll put a couple more recipes up there. It's in Kitchen Social. Click on the Kitchen Social button. It's a different recipes. Two new ones are supposed to be on there. So till Thursday, same time, same place on Blog Talk Radio. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Monday, March 11th, 2024. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good night, and we'll see you all Thursday. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doris.
Okay, thank you.